Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good, actually. It's really nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you, too. what do I call you? Do you have a name?
Yes. Samantha.
To appear from the Tribune of Podcast. We're going to try something a little bit different this week, and I'm going to actually read out the scores from the weekend. It was another good weekend of football. Only three match days left, but here is match day 31 for you. Schalke 4-1 win over Leverkusen on Friday. That is going to be something that's going to, some things that will be interesting to talk about. Dortmund drew with Cologne 0-0. Gladbach meet Mainz 2-1. Impressive victory away from home. Bremen beat Hertha Berlin. They're in the European spots now. Darmstadt beat Freiburg 3-0. Another win for Darmstadt. Augsburg, another big win from them too. Augsburg 4-0 over HSV. And Hoffenheim 1-0 win over Frankfurt. They qualify for the Champions League. But the two big results that everybody can say is the 0-0 draw for Leipzig against Ingolstadt, which granted basically the opportunity for the title for Bayern Munich, and they won 6-0 against Wolfsburg. So now joined here by Jonathan Harding and Ross Dunbar, and Bayern Munich won their fifth title in a row. And now I know Jonathan and I have completely different opinions on this, and that's great because, I mean, we like to have different opinions. But let's start with you, Ross, because we already have written on both sides of this. So why don't you start? What is your reaction to this fifth title in a row for Bayern Munich?
What's my reaction? I'm not surprised, but I do think that Bayern have certainly regressed this season. I think you probably have to look at them in two different contexts, because I think Bayern being so dominant domestically is the sign of good management at the club. It's a sign of them being on top. I mean, in years gone by, we've seen Bayern have seasons where it's been a complete disaster, right? With Louis van Gaal, Klinsmann had a bit of problems, Magath as well. And I think Bayern don't really have that anymore. They are totally dominant on top, and I think that's one big positive. However, I would definitely take issue with their performances this season. I don't think they've improved. In fact, I think they've regressed quite substantially. I think the last 3 years under Guardiola were probably some of the most dominant and most impressive years, I think, in Bayern history. I mean, even though they didn't win the Champions League, and people will always remember the teams who won the Champions League, but I think Bayern were probably still the best team in Europe in two of those three seasons. Mm-hmm. Look at them now. They're not even close to being the best team in Europe. Okay, they could have beat Real Madrid over two legs, but they're not as good as Juventus or Atletico Madrid. So you have to question, you know, why has that happened? And I think the club has made a big mistake with this idea of, yeah, Guardiola was too intensive. Let's bring in somebody who can take the shackles off, be more laid back. We've not even had Matthias Sammer on the bench. And I think that's coming back to bite them in the backside a little bit, because you look at certain players who were really good under Guardiola, probably because of his coaching, because they put pressure on him, like Douglas Costa, for example. Mm-hmm. You could even argue Arjen Robben to an extent, Thomas Müller also possibly. They aren't really performing. David Alaba is another example. Mm-hmm. So at the end of this season, yeah, it's great Bayern have won the league, but I have no idea where they are as a club right now. And I'm not really sharing a huge amount of optimism going into next season either.
All right, I want to give the listeners a view of what just happened, because we let Ross Dunbar talk. Both of us have arguments. Jonathan and I have arguments, and we were just basically biting our lips and just nodding at the points of Ross's argument that we'd agreed with. But now let's open it up a little bit more. Jonathan, you obviously, I think it's actually, I would say that your opinion is against the grain a little bit. I think a lot of people are disappointed at the fact that Bayern only have one title. The front page of Kicker was not a triple, not a double, and just the title, which was the Bundesliga title. So why don't you explain why this is still a big deal?
Well, I think the media is partly to blame Sounds a bit strange, but, you know, perception is always what have they not done? What have they not achieved? And where are they going? Let's look at 6 months. Let's look at the squad next year. Let's look at those questions. And I think that's, I think I've just felt like I've had a bit of a feeling where I'm like, okay, can we have enough of that? Can we just look at the present for a moment? And I think that's partly reflected in how Bayern handle it themselves. And I was in Wolfsburg on the weekend, and yes, they celebrated it in the changing rooms, but for about 10 minutes. You know, and yes, Rafinha posts on Instagram at 7 in the morning, he's having a glass of champagne and he's having a great time and he's celebrating the title. And that's great for him.
But he was really having a great time, wasn't he?
And he was a great time, but he's an exception and he's an anomaly. And I can understand that in a competitive squad, the desire to win is there and there's obviously a level of disappointment. But, you know, for the majority of that squad, I had the feeling on Saturday evening that it was like, okay. And that's not cool. Yeah. You know, you've just won the title. And, you know, I know that there's a certain inevitability of complacency that creeps in after winning five in a row. And I know that there's a whole counter-argument to why. But my biggest issue was, can we at least recognise the achievement rather than questioning its place in terms of what they haven't achieved? Yes, I agree with what Ross is saying about their lack of intensity in recent seasons. And yes, I agree that they were better under Guardiola. And yes, I agree that by their own standards, which is what you wrote, this wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. But this whole, this wasn't enough, they're not good enough, they didn't win the triple. Can we just take a step back for a moment? They lost the German Cup because, yeah, okay, they were to blame. They took their foot off the gas in the second half, but Dembele had an outstanding game, right? They lost the Real Madrid game because they threw it away in the first leg and they were on the bad end of refereeing decisions to any degree in the second. Mm-hmm. Fine margins, and it always comes down to that at those stages of the competition. Yeah, they weren't as good as they were against Guardiola, but it's unrealistic, and that's what frustrated me. This unrealism, you know, this is not realistic. They won the title. That's an achievement worth recognizing, even if just for a moment.
It's really tough because, I mean, when you look at Bayern Munich, I mean, they have way more money than anybody else in the division. And they're expected to win the title. And even when they're, like you said, if they hadn't won the title, that would have been news, you know? But since they did win the title, it's not really news. And the news is still negative, even though that they won a title.
And that's a problem, you know? And you're right. What you're saying about, yeah, okay, when they don't win a title, it's a problem, you know? Under Klinsmann, under Magath, they had those issues, and they didn't. And yes, Ancelotti maybe, you know, definitely has them playing at a slightly more lethargic pace. But let's not forget, before the Real Madrid game, his plan was working perfectly, quotations, right? Because he had them firing on all cylinders. Basically, since they played Arsenal, they were firing and beating teams left, right and centre, and they looked like they were properly in the groove at exactly the right time. Their performance against Wolfsburg suggests that the last 2 weeks never even happened, and they're still in the same groove. So, I don't know. I think it's all a bit knee-jerk. Like, a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. Yes, they weren't as good as they were under Guardiola. They weren't as intense. But, I mean, very fine margins between Bayern Munich being in the German Cup final, potentially winning the double, and beating a Real Madrid side that exposed some of their weaknesses, granted, but they also got the advantage of them in terms of some decisions.
The point that you make about players only celebrating for 10 minutes, isn't that what makes elite sportsmen different from everyone else? If Roger Federer wins the Monte Carlo Open, he goes, right, that's that, done, on to the next one.
But this isn't the Monte Carlo Open, though, is it? That's my question, you know. And
in the context of Bayern season, well, it's certainly not a grand. It's not a grand slam.
No,
it's
absolutely.
Just under that.
Yeah, but I totally agree that you need that competitive edge, and you can't allow yourself to get too caught up in the success. Otherwise, you're not going to achieve, and there's no ambition. I'm not disagreeing with that, but that the season in this sense, that there deserves to be a bit more recognition. You know, five times in a row. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said afterwards, even when he was playing, they only won it twice back-to-back. You know, like, it's the kind of dominance. Yes, there are loads. And I know people would be like, oh, screaming at me now, saying, well, what about the money? What about the mediocrity in mid-table from other sides? What about the fact that other teams and other managers let the league down? We've talked about that enough. I'm not talking about that side of the argument. I'm purely looking at it from Bayern's perspective. Five in a row, even when you haven't been at your best, you've still been the best in Germany. And that deserves some recognition. Yes. As a competitive athlete, you don't want to lose your edge and, you know, take your eye off the ball. But the season is done. You know, they're not in Europe anymore. They're not in the German Cup anymore. Guys, come on.
The other thing I was actually thinking about, that I'll actually go to your point, is that you look at the amount of players that have been with the team for all five titles.
Yeah.
They have a core of players that have been there the entire time. And that's why I actually think that we're not going to appreciate this five in a row right now. But when, in maybe 20 years or so, when Bayern aren't winning the
when
title...
When they won 25 in a row.
When yeah. Well, they might. But I'm betting on the fact that a lot of Bundesliga teams are going to be better, and I think that they're going to start challenging them. And actually, I think the league is going to be better for it, maybe not next year, but maybe 2 years down the road, because they want to basically unseat Bayern. The wake-up call in the last few years was, we need to figure out how to basically find a better way to win. And that's where all of this analytics have come in. That's where all of these new ways of talent development and talent scouting have come in. And that this dominant run might be seen as actually a turning point for the league, even though right now it seems like it's a little bit of an underwhelming achievement.
But that's my main gripe with it. Why do we need to wait 2 or 3 years? Why can't we just appreciate the achievement for what it is now? You know, and that's part of the perception, I think, in the media and the handling. You know, Kicker's headline saying, well, it's not the triple, it's not the double, it's only this. Well, can we not say it's only this? Yes, the standards that Bayern set themselves, but those standards can be kept internal. You know, and Champions League, no team has defended that competition. There's a reason for that. It's not easy. It comes down to fine margins. Say they beat Real Madrid. Okay, great. Then they get Atletico in the semi-finals. That's going to be an even tougher game. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, Juventus are probably the best team in Europe this season in terms of being well-rounded. And I would agree that in the season, I think maybe the second season under Guardiola, I thought Bayern were probably the best team in Europe. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. You know, being the best team isn't enough. Sometimes, especially in the top competitions.
Right, sure.
But in this competition, yes, a large proportion of the blame lies with the mediocrity of other teams and the disappointments of teams like Schalke, Wolfsburg, Leverkusen, Gladbach. But Dortmund, less so. I think that's a different argument. But I think it's just not... There's not enough recognition for that. There's too much just frustration. And maybe that's come from the club. Maybe that's come from the fan base. Because there are also too many fans at Bayern that just don't appreciate it. It's like a disappointment for winning one, not three. And that's messed up. You still won, you know?
Well, it's definitely a weird feeling because normally Bayern Munich season extends into May. Now, they wrapped up the title 3 games early. That's also impressive, by the way. But... I mean, for Bayern Munich fans, they have no reason to watch the next 3 games because it means absolutely nothing. And maybe that's part of the reason why this achievement, which is still big, doesn't seem as big because now the Bayern Munich is a team where all of their meaningful games are played in May.
But every game means something. Like if you're,
of course.
You don't want to go on a base level, but every fan, there's always a reason. You know,
of course,
like you won the title.
Doesn't matter. Most seasons, Bayern are playing for something in May, and this was the case I think 2 years ago, and this is the case this year. That this is completely, it's almost an anomaly because they usually play into May, and maybe that's why it seems like an underwhelming achievement. The only point, I think Ross made most of my points, and I think that the biggest one for me was that you look at every single competition this season, Bayern Munich are not going to achieve the same amount of points that they did last season, which is obviously a ridiculous expectation, but still, I mean, it's something. And they weren't as consistent in the league last year, and they took a step back in every single competition. And I think that is why, for me, that's why this season seems like a failure. And probably in their eyes, it is a failure. I mean, you were talking about the locker room afterwards. I saw the quotes afterwards, and they were talking about the last 9 days. They weren't talking about today. And I think that's how they define their season, is the last 9 days.
Yeah, but that's understandable. That comes back to Ross's argument there, which I don't disagree with, about professional sport and elite athletes being focused on top-level competition. And yeah, of course, you're going to have your mindset, if you're a Bayern player, on thinking, damn, we're out of the Champions League, or, you know, wow, we lost that game at home against Dortmund. But I think there also, you know, deserves to be a moment of recognition for an achievement. You know, it's such a long slog, a league season, you know, and to get there over the line. And they weren't pushed as much, but they were pushed more than they have been in recent years by a Leipzig team that came out of nowhere. So there's that. I just think the mindset, the approach is wrong. You know, Dortmund season is a failure for a lot of people. Well, actually, hold the phone. They lost their three biggest players in the summer. It's a miracle that they are where they are, considering the players that they lost. And yet this whole perception around teams is a little bit off, I think. You know, oh, Dortmund are only in this position. Then they're fighting against Hoffenheim for a place in the top four. They're really struggling to who's going to finish third. They're nowhere near Bayern. Why have they dropped off? Well, actually, Thomas Tuchel has done a remarkable job.
And he made it to the quarterfinals. And he made it to the
same place in the quarterfinals as Bayern Munich. You know, you're talking, I think you're approaching the situation wrong. You know, we need to start seeing the positives rather than the negatives the whole time. And that's what frustrated me about the Saturday.
Yeah, well, Dortmund also could win a trophy this season, and that's something that they haven't done also in a long time.
Yeah, so. But then, you know, then you've got the irony of Bayern winning the same number of trophies as Dortmund. And, you know, that's exciting on one degree for German football, because it's, you know, shows that the discrepancy isn't as great sometimes. But...
Well, let's move on to Carlo Ancelotti, because obviously, like you alluded to, Maras, that it definitely seems like they've taken a big step back in terms of the way that they play. So how does this team improve under Ancelotti next season?
I think the solution probably will be, let's sign a few more players, because Ancelotti has never been a coach that thrives in league seasons. He's always been a coach that sets his teams up so that they're not burnt out going into the Champions League like he had planned this year with AC Milan, with Real Madrid, and they do the business and knock out competitions. But in the league, his record is patchy at best. I'm not really sure if there's a quick solution under Ancelotti, and I'm hesitant to say that he's not a good coach, because he probably is.
He has three.
But I think that's,
if he's not a good coach,
I think you've got to. I think you've got to distinguish between being a good coach and being a good manager. It's two very different things. Mm-hmm. And I think Ancelotti is an outstanding man manager.
Yeah,
like, I've already read two of his books, and I think
he's great with players.
He's very, very good at that. But I think in terms of a coach, question is: was Sir Alex Ferguson a good coach? No, he was a good manager. Right. So there's two different things.
Yeah.
I think this Bayern team is struggling without having somebody like Guardiola. Obviously, I think it's important to say that we expected a drop-off after Guardiola. That was always going to happen, because Guardiola probably is the best coach out there at the moment. But the drop-off to that extent, I think that's probably the most disappointing thing. This Bayern team, more so than other years, is so reliant on one player.
Yeah,
it's so reliant on one player.
And this failure to transition away from Iron Robin, Frank Ribery, the reluctancy to do that is a real issue.
Yeah, that I think is actually part of the reason why I consider it a failure, because the fact that they're still relying on they have seven players over 30. They're relying on four of them at least. And you can't do that if you're trying to win multiple trophies in a season.
Well, you can if there's a plan in place. But this is the biggest surprise for me with Bayern. It looks like they don't have a plan in place. You know, okay, so Lahm's retiring, but Joshua Kimmich's future is still a big question mark. You know, where's he going to be? He's not playing enough for the kid's own desires, right? You have Xabi Alonso's retirement. You have to deal with that. I mean, he's become an important player in a very short period of time at the club. You have the fact that if Lewandowski is out, they have no plan, and he's pivotal to their play. You have the issue that Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery are still your biggest playmakers out wide, because Douglas Costa isn't playing / doesn't have the game time, and Kingsley Coman is showing it, but only now and then. Mm-hmm. The failure to transition from those Robben and Ribery years is a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically... is it going to be six in a row now? Or are we...
Is it going to be six in a row? Who knows? The problem is that you have to probably look at the last summer transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
Especially given Ancelotti's style of management. Was that a transfer window not particularly well used by Bayern in the summer, do you think? Given that they only signed Mats Hummels and Renato Sanchez.
Yeah.
And it's interesting listening to a debate on Sky on Saturday night, or Sunday night, sorry, where one of the reporters from Bild was saying that the Sanchez transfer was so bizarre, because if you look at his statistics during the Champions League with Benfica, the average for that competition is that players would run like 11 or 12 kilometres per game, and Sanchez would run maybe 8 or 9. So to transition from that style of football into the Bundesliga, where you have to run 11 kilometres, is quite interesting. That was one of their big spends of last summer. Quite bizarre, actually, when you look at it now.
Is it going to be six next year?
Yeah. I can't see it. I mean, even if what we talked about is true, and Bayern haven't been as dynamic or as threatening as they were under Guardiola, which I certainly agree with. I can't see Leipzig having come along enough. They have to deal with three competitions next year. That's going to be a big problem for them. Dortmund will be again the main challenger, but I think Thomas Tuchel will actually just be focused on getting these young players to improve, mm-hmm. rather than necessarily, you know, that there's a great example of a really great coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe his man management isn't excellent, but his coaching, I think, is really good. I think it will be six next year. But they have to, if they're going to challenge in the Champions League and those competitions, they have to make some serious changes in terms of how they approach their squad balance and also how they approach European competition. You know, they have to. That's hard. They have to get that right.
Well, next week in one of the games that quote unquote doesn't matter, they play Darmstadt.
It does matter for them.
But it does matter for them because Darmstadt have won their last three games.
What a story, seriously.
And
written off. No.
I think, Jonathan, you're ready to tell me I told you so, because I said that Thorsten Frings was making a mistake by going to Darmstadt. And obviously, I mean, he looks like he's got blue blood or he's got lily blood in his body. So
I mean, look, the guy has done a great job. I also think the players deserve a lot of credit for the situation that they've put themselves in. I think a lot of teams just wrote them off. And yes, to an extent, you know, this is an irrelevant argument because they're going to lose at some point and they're going to go down.
Well, if they don't lose, I mean, even if they don't lose, if Hamburg or any of these teams on 33 points get just one more point, then they're down anyways.
Exactly. And to that extent, you know, there's nothing that they can do, although they're being saved by large levels of mediocrity and poorness from the other teams. But you have to give them credit. They approached a situation where they had, you know, what was it, 15 points, you know, and they go on a run that nobody really expects them to go on. And they've nearly collected, you know, the same number of points in the second half of the season now, more than other teams in the league. You know, and Thorsten Frings, to get this much out of this group at the end of the run, while the season is already over, you know, you talk about no game mattering anymore. Well, in this sense, really matters to this team, you know.
I'm going to totally disagree with you. I don't think it's that much of a story. I think the players are playing without any pressure because they know they're going to get relegated. They've been relegated as early as January, possibly. It's only really maths that's kept them up.
Yeah.
I think they were very, very lucky to beat Schalke, who were absolutely awful.
Yeah, but how many times have we said that about Schalke?
Minute. Right, sure, but narrow margins. 92nd minute winner.
Narrow margins, Bayern Munich, Champions League.
True, of course, yeah, absolutely. They won at Hamburg. Again, thought they were really lucky in that game. And then they beat Freiburg at home.
And deserve to win that.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, it's not. I don't think it's anything miraculous.
No, I'm not suggesting it is, but I think, yeah, playing without pressure is a lot easier, absolutely. But the quality of these players is not great, right? So in that sense, yeah, okay, not having any pressure on you is easy.
But it's easy to do it when there's no pressure on you. But for the rest of the season, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
That's why they're bottom of the table
and they deserve to be relegated. Mm. Absolutely, but Schalke, Hamburg, and maybe to a lesser extent Freiburg have a vast higher level of quality in their squad. And they have no excuse to be losing to a side who, even without any pressure, you know, are still much, much worse than them. And that's where I'm like, wow, okay, yeah, they're playing with no pressure, but the quality of this team is definitely a mid-table second division team.
Yeah. We also have to keep
They're winning.
We obviously have to keep in mind, too, that a lot of these players are also probably playing to stay in the Bundesliga themselves.
But the only one who really deserves that is Aytaç Sulu in terms of long-term quality, like consistency. Yeah, Vrančić is okay, Heller is okay, but they're not players that are going to stay in the league. Heller should have gone at the end of his first season if he was going to go. Other than that, I don't think there's anyone else in the Darmstadt team that I'm looking at going, yeah, he's good enough to be in a Bundesliga team.
Yeah, but there's going to be Bundesliga teams that probably say that.
I can't see. No, but really, where, though? I mean, in terms of the quality in that team. Felix Platter is already a Schalke youth player. I mean, maybe he's going to, you know, maybe, but again, gone out there to get some game time. Probably got more of a chance of making a career of himself if he goes to Darmstadt and scores 25 goals.
Sydney Sam
is at the end of his career and just wants to play. He'll play anywhere, and he probably will leave at the end of the season anyway. I mean,
I'm just saying, but I mean, see, I mean,
Aitak Sulu is the only one. Yeah. I'm sure Aitak Sulu would do a really good job at like a Mainz or a, you know, someone like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I just think, yeah, I mean, for me, it's not that interesting because, yeah, I mean, this is why they're bottom of the league. This is why they're going to go down. I get what you're saying, but Schalke had basically given up on the season by that point. I mean, you could see that in the way that they played. I didn't think it was that astonishing a result.
Hamburg?
Hamburg? Yeah, but you know what Hamburg are like.
Yeah, but you said the same about Schalke. I mean, look, I get what you're saying.
It's the point of the league, that bottom end of the table being so mediocre.
Yeah, but then in that argument, I agree with you, but then in that argument, from Darmstadt to Schalke, that whole group of teams has been...
You could say from Darmstadt to Bremen, possibly.
Yeah, Bremen. Well, absolutely. This has been unacceptable, really.
But I mean, I think...
Highs and lows.
I think you're probably right to mention Tosin Frings, though, because I think there have been signs that he has improved the team. There's been clear signs that he's improved the team, and I think Altintop has been a really, really good signing.
Massive.
Brought a lot of experience to the team, and absolutely, he's a quality player, so it makes a huge difference. And them sustaining themselves in the second division has to be the target, right? Yeah. I mean, even if they get relegated,
just don't do a Paderborn.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, you want to be
Paderborn in the third division now. Jeez. Badly, they get two consecutive,
Yeah. But I mean, Darmstadt do have, I think, a good fan base. That's one thing I don't think Paderborn had.
Yeah,
they've got a young manager in place already, so they've already transition toward the
Made
second
some big
division
steps, yeah,
where Paderborn didn't really do that.
Yeah.
So I think the future's okay for them. I don't think they'll be back up quickly.
No.
But
Tosin Frings has a chance
he's got a chance to turn that club into a strong second division side.
And to make a name for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean Darmstadt, you think Ross said they're not gonna come back up right away. Jonathan, you feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. There are too many teams in the second division that are in a much better position, I think.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing an anomaly here with Stuttgart and Hanover basically bouncing right up after.
No, I don't know. I think a lot of teams who get relegated who are of that pedigree.
Well, I mean, in terms of, like, historically, teams that go down usually spend two seasons there. I mean, Cologne spent two seasons there.
Unless you're Freiburg, you know, and you just can't stand the second division.
Yeah, that's true. But now, so since we talked about Darmstadt, let's talk about the rest of the relegation picture, because Darmstadt could go down with a simple loss to Bayern Munich.
Or even just the result elsewhere, as you said.
Exactly. Hamburg had a huge loss, like I said, 4-0 against Augsburg. So they're in trouble. Mainz lost as well. And actually, all three of the teams that are on 33 points, they all lost the weekend. Wolfsburg, Mainz, and Hamburg. So why don't we actually pick the team that we think that is definitely going to stay up with those three. Jonathan, you go first.
Out of what? Hamburg,
Mainz,
Wolfsburg,
Hamburg,
Mainz.
And Wolfsburg.
Oh,
that
that's
is
hard.
Really tough. Oh. Yeah.
It's like picking between like a polka dot dress.
I think the way things are going, it's very difficult because I actually think the team that you haven't mentioned there that could be in real trouble yet is Augsburg. Because they still have to play Gladbach, Hoffenheim, and Dortmund.
And Leverkusen. Leverkusen have got...
That's true.
They've got Cologne, I think. No, they've got Ingolstadt away on Saturday. They've got Cologne at home next week. And then they've got Hertha away.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I just don't see how they're going to win
and
any
this is
of
why
those games.
When you ask me to pick one of those, I think it's too difficult to say. And I don't want to be one of these people that doesn't want to pick names because, you know, it's diplomatic. But it's genuinely so tight. You've got to remember that Hamburg are playing Wolfsburg on the final day. Right, that game is going to be huge. Hamburg are dropping off exactly the wrong time for a side that were looking really good in, well, not really good, but much
but
improved in January.
Thing, isn't it? They looked really, really good for a while.
Yeah.
There were 10 games at home unbeaten,
and now,
compared to the last 2 years where they were rubbish the whole season and survived at the end, now they've gone the opposite way where it's like they're nosediving at the worst possible.
Hamburg in May are always a tricky customer, though. I mean, like, you know, this is a time of year where you just... You have to ask yourself, you know, and the other question is Ingolstadt get a big point against Leipzig. I still think that they've got a too tougher ask, but it's still in their hands. They still have to play teams.
Well, they're four, so Ingolstadt's on 29 points. They're 4 points between them and those group of 33 points, Mainz, Wolfsburg, and Hamburg. So making a 4-point ground in three matches, that's going to be a very, very tough ask unless they win all three of them.
If they beat Leverkusen on Saturday?
Yeah, but you see, Hamburg have to... This is absolutely mind-boggling. Hamburg have to play Mainz.
Yeah.
Then Schalke, who, as we've already established, are a complete joker team. Yeah. And then Wolfsburg. Yeah. So there's feasibly no way, like, if Hamburg could get no more points, you know, and then what?
And then the other teams have got more points.
And then the other teams have got more points. And Ingolstadt have to play Leverkusen, as we said, Freiburg away, which is the tricky one because Freiburg at home, but their season is basically over. And then Schalke on the final day. Ingolstadt plays Schalke on the final day. Schalke are going to play a big role in who gets relegated this season, even if they're not one of the teams involved. I think everybody from Leverkusen down, so that's 12th down, is to even to Ingolstadt, is still capable of being in 16th.
Yeah. But now, here's the other thing, though, because 16th is not automatic relegation.
No, it's the playoff.
They play the playoff. Do you think, which of these teams do you think would have trouble in the playoff? And which teams are you not worried about?
I think mentally.
Because I think that's the way that we actually have to think about this now. Yeah. Is because, yeah. I mean, I think mentally, Ingolstadt and Darmstadt, they're too far behind.
Mentally, Hamburg have got to have an edge in that situation because they've done it so often. But
I'm not sure. I actually would disagree with that.
I think they would really struggle this. I actually think, I'm really worried about Hamburg. Like,
yeah.
The way they played on Sunday.
Yeah, it was really bad.
The players looked as if...
And how can you not be up for that game? How can you not be up for that game?
I mean, yeah. Like, okay, they have had problems in the last three seasons, right? I get that.
Yeah.
But it was almost as if they had come out of that problem last year, finishing mid-table. Alles in Ordnung, everything's okay. You know, we just kind of move on to the next manager. They were 10 games at home unbeaten, and they were playing really, really well. But now, when they have the pressure of being at home or against teams that they are the favourites, they're really struggling. I'm really concerned about that. But are they any worse than Wolfsburg?
That's exactly my point.
Or Mainz? I don't know.
I don't think...
But are you worried about Wolfsburg?
Yes, I'm worried about Wolfsburg. Yeah. I'm worried about Wolfsburg in the playoff. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about Wolfsburg.
No, absolutely. Because you have to think about the psychological impact for a team like Wolfsburg or even Leverkusen if it gets to that point. If Wolfsburg or Leverkusen find themselves in the playoff for relegation from the Bundesliga, these are two teams that spent, what, I think... Wolfsburg spent something like, I don't know, was it 90 million in the summer? I can't remember. They spent loads of money. And then, this year, Leverkusen spent at least 50 or 60. Talking about teams that were in the Champions League or German Cup winners two seasons ago. That mentally, that is a huge hurdle.
I think Leverkusen perhaps are the most fragile team mentally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if you look at that game on Friday against Schalke. 1-0 down right away. The header from the corner kick right after it. Jeez. And that's it.
The craziest thing about Wolfsburg is what you discovered when you talked to Andreas Janke this week. And if you go read that piece on DeutscheWelle.com because it's actually very good.
Thank you, Dave.
but what was horrifying to me to hear was that the players would not basically... The Wolfsburg players would go on the field with the coach having told them a plan. And they're like, nah, I don't want to do that.
I think.
How do you do that if you're a player? How? I mean, you're in the position where you are basically you might not be in the Bundesliga next year, and you're not listening to the coach that's telling you, trying to tell you how to get out of that situation.
This is one big disadvantage. And again, I find that we've had this discussion before about the quote unquote plastic clubs of the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
It's easy for players to isolate themselves from being a Wolfsburg player or a Leverkusen player. And I know that some people on Twitter and social media have said, fair play to the Leverkusen players for going and talking to the fans. Sorry, but I think Leverkusen players have chucked it. I think they've absolutely chucked it. And that says a lot, I think, about the personalities in that squad. You know, like, I mean, it's quite a reactionary thing to say this. But Julian Brandt, if I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the performances of Julian Brandt under pressure, I'm thinking, you're not giving me enough to suggest that you're a team player.
Yep.
And that's quite worrying for a lot of those guys who are not just playing, but they're not playing for the club because there's no identity between the club and the players, right? I mean, why would a player from Chile have any association to Bayer Leverkusen, where there's not a really core fan base, there's not really a big tradition? It's different when you play for Dortmund, right, where... you have to deliver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you imagine if Schalke were in that situation where they would have to deliver results, Mainz have got that advantage where they've got a really solid fan base, mm-hmm. and the fans are really getting behind the team, and Augsburg have this as well.
Yeah.
I think Hamburg maybe will have the fans on their back.
I think Hamburg right fans away. Rightly on their yeah, back right, exactly. after the experiences they've had in recent
years. No, but I think he's saying that, like, the fans are very engaged in Hamburg.
Yeah, but Wolfsburg's the same, but Wolfsburg, in perhaps a slightly different way, is that they, you know, Leverkusen, this is going to sound awful, but it's kind of just a suburb of Cologne. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So
it's a working. Well, it is. It's a Werkstatt.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're kind of like, that's going to be a real problem, right? Wolfsburg aren't really. I mean, they're an hour and a half from Berlin, but they don't. Berlin is only a distraction for their players who want to get on trains and go and entertain themselves, right? So it's not like there's a football issue there. Wolfsburg is weird because the entire city is like a sim city, like it's from a video game. And football is just, well, what do you want in one of those cities? You want a sporting form of entertainment. So you get a football team because it's the biggest sport in the country. Fine. So there is an identity there, even if it's not a popular one. And they're not fighting against a local team or anything else. It's just that it's almost like there are people there who obviously are very pro the team. And unlike Leverkusen, Wolfsburg won the title. So they have some level of success. And I'm not saying that there's more to Wolfsburg than other teams. But there's certainly an identity there, even if it's not a popular one. Their issue is they cannot afford to lose that by dropping out of the division. Because if they do, then like Leverkusen, they're in real trouble of just disappearing. You know, because then the funding goes and then the players go and then...
You're right about the identity thing with Wolfsburg because, you know, there are, hundreds of thousands of people who live in Wolfsburg.
Absolutely.
And they basically all work for Volkswagen. Yeah. And they all support Wolfsburg. Right, so that is there.
It's a base.
How can you be a player from...
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of a really obscure example, but even Luis Gustavo from Brazil... Identify with that culture.
But it's very difficult because you can't, I don't think, as a player, unless you're from that area, which very few of them are, identify with what, in my feeling, is a very soulless sort of city. You know, like the fans behind when last they were great, the 10, whatever it is, the 5, 7, 8,000 behind the goal, they were obviously, you know, we're here, we're not going to give up, and those fans deserve some recognition, absolutely. But it's very difficult, I think, for a player to have a level of association. I think Wolfsburg is one of those teams where you're like, right, I need to play in the Champions League, I need to have a better chance at top four, so I'm going to go here because I can earn a decent amount and I have a realistic chance of doing that. If you can't offer that to players, then there is nothing.
Wolfsburg and Leverkusen are stepping stones to other clubs.
Exactly.
And if you're a player in the mindset of, I'm going to Leverkusen to go somewhere else, that can't be healthy.
Yeah.
And Kevin De Bruyne is a very unique situation because he was so
good,
so driven and so good to prove other people wrong that he only had to be there for one season.
That was enough.
You're Julian Draxler, you're giving up Schalke to have one season at Wolfsburg or whatever. I mean, it's like
there's
no identification between players and the fans, and that's why I think those clubs have got so much more to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine next season, right? This is totally hypothetical, and
we're going to bring up the Sandhausen example.
Exactly. Can you imagine Leverkusen against Sandhausen next year? Wow. I mean,
but you imagine the exodus in the summer of the
Sandhausen. I mean, what did they ever do to
anybody? What did they ever do to anybody?
Wolfsburg.
But that's the difference. That's the difference. Coming back to the argument, that's the difference. Hamburg go down, they will still take 20,000 to Nuremberg.
Right. The fans will rally behind that club.
Mainz go down, they'll still take. Augsburg go down, they will still take those people. Wolfsburg and Leverkusen, I'm not saying the fans won't be dedicated, they will, but they will have a real, real issue then. Because if you're a Volkswagen employee, what's your motivation to watch Wolfsburg against Sandhausen?
But again, I have to provide context because they'll go to the playoff. Keep in mind, they'll go to the playoff. So you don't back either one of those teams to do well in the playoff.
I think looking at the second division teams this year that
Stuttgart,
are up for it.
Hannover, Braunschweig. Stuttgart
and Union, right?
Union also,
so there are four teams there that are like, okay, the quality.
I still don't think Braunschweig is good enough to.
No,
be,
but
Braunschweig is a local derby against Wolfsburg.
Exactly, I know Wolfsburg. Yeah, but in the same argument, Wolfsburg are far better than the relegation spot. Braunschweig are not great enough to be third, but they are or fourth, right? So
yeah, but that's the relegation playoff is where that discrepancy is on display.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you look at
how do you,
Frankfurt and Nürnberg last year.
Yeah, but that was close. That was close.
Made a big impact on that club.
Absolutely.
Towards the end.
And that's where Andreas Jonker has to get it right, you know? And he's got Frankfurt away, Gladbach at home, and then Hamburg.
I don't see them winning any of those
games. I don't see them winning any of those
games.
You
don't think they're going to beat Frankfurt, even though Frankfurt
resurgent
have won
Frankfurt.
One
game? Resurgent.
A resurgent cup finalist Frankfurt.
Final, yeah.
Up for it. Maybe a point there, right? Then you get 1 point. Gladbach.
Gladbach away, no.
No, Gladbach away.
No, Gladbach home.
Oh, Gladbach home.
And then Hamburg away. Hamburg away on the final day. That's an intimidating stadium to play in. Yeah. It's going to be so tight.
Yeah. So... Yeah. Well, even though the title's over, there's obviously still a lot to play for. So, and instead of continuing to talk about this, let's go to our shouts from the Tribuna. So, Ross, why don't you go into your shout this week?
I forgot what my shout was. What was it again?
All right, Jonathan, let's go to your shout from this week.
Yeah, brilliant. Ross Dunbar with the mind blank. I want to just talk about Max Kruse. I know that Ross wrote a nice piece about him, a week ago?
Two weeks ago?
Yeah, look at that. Fortune telling with Dunbar.
No, last week was Demir Bay.
Yeah,
come on,
sorry,
get it straight.
Sorry. I think he's been in sensational form, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about Confederations Cup, which you know, is a pointless competition. But for the sake of it, and for the sake of a chance to resurrect his Germany career, I think it would be great for Joachim Löw to pick him, to give him a chance, to give him another opportunity to maybe iron out his personal side, shall we say. But I think on the pitch, he offers everything that Germany do need in that position. He's capable of playing in a front four. He's quick on the break. His finishing is very underrated. And Germany need to gradually move away from Mario Gomez as option B, or even option A.
I think he was option A last year.
He was in the Euros, because he's not a long-term plan, as much as I have a lot of time for De Gea. Kruse is a really valid option, you know, and you don't have Götze anymore in that position as he was. You can't play Ozil there anymore, I don't think. So, Max Kruse for Germany.
Müller can't play there.
Well, Müller can't play anywhere at the moment, but yeah, Max Kruse for Germany. Has Ross remembered?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Ross.
I do. I was really impressed with Leon Goretzka on Friday.
There it is.
I think his performances have been very overrated for a long time.
Sophie will be happy about that.
But he absolutely ran the show on Friday. He was so good. Because he was playing in the right position. He's not a number six. He's not a defensive midfielder. He's not a goddamn playmaker.
When has he played as a number six?
With Schalke for most of the season.
He's played in the six before, yeah.
Well, he's played the six before, but I think he's played mostly as a playmaker.
But he's still not really a playmaker. Yeah. His passing's not that good.
Yeah.
But he can break between the lines really well, presses really well, like one-touch passing, really good in that respect, but not a guy who can sit in the back four. He's an eight, yeah, he's an eight. And I think... Schalke,
his number is literally eight, so
he's
number eight.
Schalke cannot afford to let him go this summer. I think Kolasinac is no bother. You can let him go, you can let Max Meyer go, you can let any of them go. But you cannot let Leon Goretzka go, because he's probably the only really top player we have, I think. Genuine Champions League quality player.
I think Kolasinac at the moment is, and I think also
he's replaceable. I think he's replaceable.
I think for the club, the way that he approaches games with the physical attitude, I think there have been more than the too many occasions this season where he has been the reason that Schalke's body language has changed. Like, he has dragged that team through. I mean, you have to look at the derby, the way that he played in that game. He was really up for it.
He's a good player, but I don't think he's a Champions League level player.
I'd be tempted to disagree.
To the top level. Okay, fair enough.
I agree with you, Jonathan. So
well,
I think he's... I told him this before. I mean, name left backs better than him. And there's not that many.
No, there's not.
You know? So in a world where there's... like 20 teams in many leagues, 18 teams in the Bundesliga, belongs at the top, and those top teams are in the Champions League, so therefore he's a Champions League level left back.
I certainly think he's a Champions League quality left back, but I mean, I totally agree about the Goretzka argument. I think you can afford to lose Meyer. I think he's had a dreadful year. I think you can afford to lose a lot of other players, but I think if you lose those two, particularly Goretzka, from what feels like, I know he came from Bochum, but you're kind of like...
Still local.
You feel like he's one of yours, you know? So.
I mean, I think Meyer actually cannot afford to lose Schalke.
Because
but we had this discussion, like, if you're going to get 20 million from Max Meyer,
should have got it last summer.
Take it and run.
Well, yeah, if you're going to get it, but I honestly don't think Chaga's going to get it.
No.
So that's the argument that I made with you, but I think Max Meyer is probably going to have to extend. But it's very interesting because there's so many players, like Gretzka, Meyer, and Kolasinac. It seems like Kolasinac is going to go. Arsenal has been heavily linked, and Everton, if not Arsenal. Gretzka, I think you're totally right that he's definitely the one that they need to keep, because I think he's also somebody that could eventually be like a Hovedis type that could turn into a captain of a team.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, that his move for the first goal. And by the way, Bentaleb's pass.
Right, Bentaleb.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Jesus, what a...
I think they're going to be a very good pair.
That could be a really exciting midfield. Goretzka and Bentaleb.
Maybe they can get a holding guy in front.
And they could get a striker other than Guido.
They have one. His name is Breland Bolo, and he's injured.
That's true. But I mean, yeah, I think they cannot afford to get rid of him, especially given next year that they're not going to be in Europe. You've got to have some consistency in that team.
Absolutely.
And I think Goretzka is really important. Yeah. Potentially captain material. Yeah. I know that Hovedis is not going to give away the armband.
No.
But
he can be the shiny. He can be the captain without the armband.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, no, we both agree with you on that. I actually wanted to go into... I know that we've given a lot of praise to Dieter Hecking and since he's taken over for Gladbach, which is something that, I mean, I was not expecting myself to say. I thought he was going to not do very well there. But the reason why I want to bring him up is because a lot of people didn't give... Oddly enough, a lot of people didn't give Gladbach a chance against Mainz because of how they performed in the cup in midweek.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a little crazy because, Dieter Hecking has got the best out of his attacking talent. And a lot of the players that have had to come in have been ready to go. And I think that comes down to Dieter Hecking. I mean, you look at Nico Schulz, a player that has, for the first time in many, many, many moons, he started two games in a row due to injury, basically because he's been injured for most of the time he's been at Gladbach, but... I mean, Nico Schulz was the best player, and I mean the fact that Hecking had enough confidence to start him not only at the weekend, of course, but in a pretty important cup game. I mean, I think that says a lot, and I think that Nico Schulz definitely benefited from the fact that Dieter Hecking is the coach, and someone like André Schubert's not trying to get too cute and trying to find the right solution without Oscar Wendt in the team. So I think that Dieter Hecking definitely, I mean, we've said it a lot, but I think it's definitely worth saying again, especially since, I mean, Mainz had been playing much better in recent weeks, and, I mean, Mainz is not really that easy of a place to go to.
No,
the fact that Gladbach went there and with a lot of quote-unquote B-team players in the team, they were still able to get a 2-1 result, and the 2-1 result was just flattering for Mainz because Mainz got a consolation goal late in the game.
I think that Dieter Hecking is ironically the coach that a lot of the sides in the lower half of the table would love to have. I mean, I think his time at Wolfsburg rightly came to an end. I think the message wasn't getting through and there was a disconnect there. I think that, you know...
Well, why was he said? Maybe that was just because of the atmosphere at the club.
Maybe that's because... we don't know. There are a number of reasons that could have been. But I feel like teams like... Yeah, okay, Wolfsburg maybe, but he's already done that. I feel like teams like Leverkusen, maybe Augsburg, Schalke certainly, even maybe Mainz, would have benefited greatly from having someone like him who's very stable. Ironically, Gladbach are probably going to play just as big a role, if not more so, as Schalke. They have to play Augsburg, Wolfsburg, and Darmstadt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Darmstadt will be gone by then, but
and they
could still sneak into Europe. They're only 3 points off, and that depends whether the Werder Bremen train continues.
Yeah, big test for Gladbach next year to replace Dahoud going to Dortmund.
Because they bring in
Laszlo Benes. Yeah, but I'm also a little bit keen to just say, you know,
Mo Dahoud had 200 Bundesliga games under his belt. Laszlo Benes is just coming into the team.
Of course,
might not be that good. I mean, who knows? I mean, let's see in 50 games.
Yeah, let's just give it time.
But that's exactly my point. Laszlo Benes was basically a very touted talent when Gladbach acquired him.
Mm. Yeah,
and Hecking has basically shown why he's such a good player.
Hecking
the fact that he's able to come in right now when Gladbach's schedule was pretty packed, I mean, that's all down to...
No, it's definitely worth taking a note for. I mean, Hecking even came out on record and said he was the next Murder Hood. So, I mean...
Let's see.
Yeah. But, I'm curious, guys, what you think. I think that now, under Hecking, that Gladbach is probably favored to finish at least fifth.
Oof. This season?
Next season.
Next season.
I could buy that.
I could buy that. Although the summer of change, for these clubs like Wolfsburg, Leverkusen, Schalke, who let's be honest, have been, if you consider Gladbach as the only side that have consistently been in Europe over the last three seasons, right? Whereas Schalke, Wolfsburg, and Leverkusen keep trying to be, and then they're not, and they are, and the fact that Leverkusen won't be in next season is disastrous for their planning. Their entire club is based around that. But, I mean, Gladbach have a real opportunity. It'd be a real shame if they didn't make Europe this season, but it's hard to get on the Werder Bremen train at the moment.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, I mean, this will be a part two of my my shout, but not another shout, but I just wanted to make this point. I think Werder Bremen is going to collapse next year if they qualify for Europe. I think that could be the worst thing that happens.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. I mean, they could do a Freiburg or a Frankfurt.
It's possible.
They really struggle with it. But that's why I think it's also important that Freiburg don't make it.
Yeah.
Because that squad is not built for...
No.
And nor is Werder Bremen's, but...
Exactly.
But Werder Bremen could tie European football easier than Freiburg.
Yeah, absolutely. Their club has history of that. They have money to buy two or three more players. Yeah, Freiburg, no. But Bremen could probably do an all right job and finish 12th, 13th, and that would be all right. Freiburg would really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it would be better if Bremen and Gladbach got the European spots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hertha will get an enemy.
That's true.
Hertha
will lose to Rosenberg.
Exactly. All right, that'll do it for this week's.
What a way to end!
Yeah.
Oh, Hertha.
That'll do it for this week's. This week's Tribuna podcast. We can run through the fixtures for you next week, so you guys can look forward to that. Cologne will be playing Bremen on Friday. Bayern and Darmstadt, like we mentioned, Dortmund and Hoffenheim. That's going to be a fun one to talk about. Gladbach, Augsburg, as Jonathan mentioned earlier. Ingolstadt against Leverkusen. Frankfurt against Wolfsburg. Hertha against Leipzig is the late Saturday game. Hamburg play Mainz, one of the big games for their relegation fight on Sunday. And then probably the game that nobody cares about, Freiburg against Schalke.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
God, Hamburg against Mainz is a huge game.
Yeah.
So Hamburg against Mainz, Frankfurt, Wolfsburg,
mm-hmm.
Dortmund, Hoffenheim.
Ingolstadt, Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So much fun.
Yeah, so we'll have some fun the next time we talk to you guys. You can be sure to check us out on Facebook, at Tribuna Podcast, and on Twitter, at Tribuna Podcast as well. If you like the pod, just subscribe to us on iTunes, and be sure to give us a recommendation as well. And we're excited to talk to you guys next time, whenever it is.